All right, welcome everyone to today's Google Search Central SEO Office Hours Hangout. My name is John Mueller. I am a search advocate on the search relations team here at Google in Switzerland. And part of what we do are these office hour hangouts where people can join in and ask their questions around search, and we can try to figure out some answers. Bunch of stuff was submitted already on YouTube, so we can go through some of that. But like always, it's always neat to get some live questions as well. So if anyone has something they'd like to talk about, feel free to jump on it.
Hi, John. Hi. I have two questions regarding AMP. The first question is it a problem if the AMP version differs slightly from the canonical HTML version in that you have a small ad in the AMP version, which is not in the HTML version? And secondly, I have discovered that the largest contentful paint for my AMP page, when I wait a while for clicking on the search results page, is very high compared to when I click immediately on a search result. And I wanted to ask if that's normal.
Okay, so I think for the first one, that's perfectly fine. So the pages should be equivalent, should be the same content, same kind of images, that kind of thing. But things like monetization, that can always vary. And even within a normal HTML page, you could have something like, I don't know, dynamic ads, where sometimes you have an ad unit there, sometimes over here. So those kind of changes totally don't matter. With regards to largest contentful paint, I don't know exactly when that starts counting when it comes to kind of the crux data. But it would surprise me if kind of the time on the search results page were counted in that. That would seem kind of wrong way to set that up.
I checked the head-up display in the Chrome Canary version. There you have the crux data that is transmitted. And there I had 250 seconds after I waited some minutes for clicking. And when I clicked immediately, it just were 3 seconds. So I was a little bit, it was a little bit scary.
Okay. What I would do is contact someone from the Chrome side. So to kind of let them know about that and maybe see if that's like the way it's supposed to be working or if there's something weird just with regards to the data that you see there.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure. All right. Let me see. Praveen, I think you have your hand up next.
Hi, John. How are you?
Hi.
Hi. So first of all, thank you for these office hours. These are like free SEO classes for us. A lot of knowledge is there. Thank you for what you do. So I have a very, very basic question, basically a doubt that suppose there is a website that has moved to mobile first indexing. So as far as I know, Google will use mobile signals or mobile content to rank that website. So the doubt is whether Google will use these signals for just for mobile rankings or even for desktop rankings.
Sorry, what was that last part?
Will Google use mobile signals for just for mobile search rankings or desktop search rankings as well?
So we will index the content once with the mobile crawler, and we will use that version with all of the signals that we have as a basis for both desktop and mobile rankings. So that's something that's mostly focused on the indexing side. It's not focused on things like Core Web Vitals, where we do use different metrics for different places. But just purely when it comes to the content and how we would rank that content, we would only use the mobile version.
Yeah, sure. Thank you.
Sure. All right, Xiao.
Hey, John. Thank you.
Hi.
Hey, so I have a question about the product variant. So I read an article from Google Merchant Center guide. They say that if you have like two products and have very different different attribute but the same product, like green shoes, red shoes, or like maybe 2 GB computer and 10 GB computer. In Google Merchant Center, they said you should canonicalize to one of them or the one that without attribute. But I am not quite sure it's the best thing to do on general search, because sometimes I think it's probably better to index them separately, because sometimes the different do matter. So I wonder what is the best practice for general search, and why Google Merchant Center say you have to canonicalize them.
I don't know what Google Merchant Center says there. So that's kind of the one side. But it is something where you can, at least from the search side, you can choose whether or not you want to canonicalize them or not. And sometimes I think it makes sense to have one strong page with all of the variants on that page. And sometimes it makes sense to have multiple pages. It kind of depends. And I don't know exactly how the Merchant Center side plays in there, because you also have the product feed where you can submit URLs that end up being canonicalized somewhere else. So I'm not 100% sure what the best approach is there.
I see. So if the two variants are significant enough and people do search for the variant, so it's better to index them separately, right?
That's what I would do. Yeah.
I see.
Yeah.
Thank you. But if they, like, for example, if even like two products are very similar, but they are different color and you index to one of them, will Google pick it up? Because Google knows it is different color, right?
So if we follow the rel canonical for that, then we would only index the canonical version. It's not that we would say, oh, we know another page has a rel canonical to this page, and the other page is about red shoes, and this one is about blue shoes. It wouldn't be that we'd know, oh, this is also for red shoes. We would just see the blue shoes page, because that's what we index.
I see. Thank you.
Sure. Mark.
All right, sorry, I got to unmute myself first. This is probably more of an academic question. When I got it right, Google is now able to show certain paragraphs of a site as a search result. And now I wonder if you have something like a product page where you can find third parties' content, like, for example, recommendations or tests or something like that. I mean, that is useful content for the user. However, it's still duplicate content in a certain way. So is there a chance to kind of mark these things as, I don't know, do not index this paragraph or something like that?
Not really. So at least there's no direct way that you can do that. So you could use the data no snippet to say that this is something that you don't want to have shown in a snippet. That might be enough in a lot of cases. If it's really content that you must avoid to have indexed there, like if there are licensing reasons or other legal reasons why it should never be indexed like that, one of the things you could do is use JavaScript to pull that content in and use robots.txt to block that JavaScript file from being crawled. So that would essentially mean that when Google tries to render the page, it wouldn't be able to fetch the JavaScript file, and therefore it wouldn't be able to pull in that other content. I think that's something that I would say for really critical situations where it's really like there are legal reasons why that must not be indexed. If it's just you prefer that this is not indexed, or you prefer that Google doesn't give this much weight, then I would just let it be indexed normally. If it's duplicate content within the website, then we'll try to pick one of the pages anyway. It's not that we will see your page as being worse because it also has some duplicate content on it. Because it's kind of a really common situation, especially with product pages, where if you have products from, I don't know, various sources, you often have the original product description on there. And then that product description is duplicate, but that doesn't mean the page is bad.
All right. Thank you very much.
Sure. Rishab. Oh, man. I probably say your name wrong. Sorry.
No, that's correct. That's correct. It's Rishab. Hey, John. Hi.
Hi.
So my question is mostly related to site migrations. So we have a site which has a desktop and mobile version separately for our website. And we migrated, let's say, from XYZ to ABC. And desktop version will go to desktop, and mobile version will go to mobile. M.XYZ will go to m.abc.com. So it's been a month and a half. We have migrated from a different domain name to a different one, and we have also requested this change of address using webmaster tool. Now my point is ki, now I kind of convinced my developer to, you know, remove m dot and have a responsive site, and then they are going to remove m dot version and have abc.com. So my question here is ki, now since there is another redirection going to be happen from m dot to website, and since I don't have an option in change to address because it already going on from older website to newer website, so how it kind of impact overall on SEO and how, you know, Google sees it? I just wanted to understand about it.
I think that's perfectly fine. That's like a normal move, essentially. So that's something where I would set up the redirects from the m.dot version to your new responsive version. What I would make sure is that the change of address that you have in Search Console goes to the final destination. So if you have, I don't know, www and m.dot, that the change of address goes to the www version, not to the m.dot version. Just so that we can really transfer everything directly to your preferred version. But otherwise, it's like setting up the redirects, making sure the internal linking works well, all of that, I think, is fairly normal. So that should be fine.
So there's one problem that change of address is already being used from older website to newer website. So I don't have an option to kind of change it from m.abc.com to abc.com because it's been already moved from XYZ to ABC.
Okay, but you're moving to the main website then in the change of address tool, not to m.dot.
Probably. No, right? I didn't understand.
So in the change of address tool, it probably says moving to www, your new domain, right? Your new site.
Yes, so change of address I have applied for a month back,
yeah,
which is in process already, and which is from older domain to newer domain,
yeah,
with respect to desktop and the mobile version.
Yeah, I think that's, that should be enough. I don't think you need to do anything special there. Also, the change of address tool helps us a little bit to move things a little bit faster, but it's not critical. A lot of site moves are done without the change of address tool. So if, for whatever reason, you can't use that, then that's also perfectly fine. As long as it's pointing to the current site that you want to have everything moved over, then I think you're OK.
Got it. Thanks, John. Thanks.
Sure. Mihai.
Hey, John. I have two medium-sized questions. I hope they're not that convoluted. One is actually regarding the last topic with site migrations and one of your favorite topics, which is subdomain versus subfolders. This is with regards to a project we're working on that is on a ccTLD. They want to expand internationally, so we're going on a generic domain. And in terms of expanding to each individual country, whether since for each individual country, the services differ a bit. So there, it's not the case that we use Hreflang, for example, because there are different landing pages specific to those countries. So in terms of subdomain versus subfolders and how the whole website, like the menu and everything, internal linking is structured, does Google treat like the silos, like these services are specifically for this country, different from a subdomain to a subfolder? Or is it just in Search Console you set up the geo-targeting and that's basically it and it's the same?
Yeah. It's pretty much just Search Console and kind of the technical infrastructure on your side. So that's where I would just look like what's easier for you to maintain, what's the long-term stable approach for you, and then pick that.
And when it comes to internal linking, there's no difference if the URL points to in the menu, if you link to a URL that has a subdomain, that is on a subdomain or is on a subfolder, it's the same internal linking. Google treats it the same.
Yeah. That should all be the same. Some sites, I don't know, for some reason have subdomains, others use folders. I don't know. we have to deal with both.
Yeah, we're looking towards subdomains since the services, again, are different for each country. So it's not the same page just translated or anything like that. So I think it makes more sense, even from a user experience point of view, to kind of see that subdomain there. But it's good to know, like, there's not much of a difference anyway. And the second one is regarding geo-targeting GeoIP redirects. And that one is, let's say the main site targets a specific country, and then you have subdomain that targets a different country. But you don't want people from, let's say from the UK to type in the main domain name, which is targeted to the US, and try to purchase something there. IP redirects aren't the best solution when it comes to indexing and everything and ranking in those specific other non-US countries. So would something like, I don't know, maybe disabling the cart for somebody who's, so kind of still use the IP and detect that the user is not from the US and then disable the cart or do something that disallows them from actually purchasing from a different country or anything like that.
Sure. Yeah, I don't see a problem with that. Usually, when it comes to kind of IP redirects, and especially if you're just looking at one page, usually it's like the home page where people type in the address kind of thing. Usually, the recommendation I have is to only do that on the generic home page. So you have like www.yoursite.com. That one redirects to the different country versions, and the individual country versions don't redirect. That way, like, the generic homepage can be linked. We can kind of crawl that. We can see the hreflang annotations, things like that. But essentially, the redirect goes to whatever country version. But the individual country versions don't have any problems with, like, redirects blocking indexing or crawling.
But if most ranking signals usually point to the homepage, like links and everything else,
yeah.
How do you deal with that when it comes if the homepage redirects?
So we would follow the redirect initially, and we would probably see whatever US redirect that you have there.
Yeah.
But if you have hreflang across the home pages, then we would be able to treat that as a cluster and say, well, it's like we swap out the URL, we do the ranking first and swap out the URL, essentially. So as long
as you can crawl and index the individual versions correctly, then hreflang kind of takes care of Google understanding.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a guarantee. Like, someone can still go to the wrong version, and having a backup, like you mentioned, I think is something you should always have. A lot of sites use something like a JavaScript banner or something where it shows like your wrong country version. Here's the right version for you. Essentially, you can also block the cart. Like, blocking the cart, I think from our point of view, would almost be invisible. I think the Google Shopping side might check things like the cart to kind of just make sure that if you're submitting something with the feed, that it's actually matching what you can purchase. But from a search point of view, it's like one internal link that doesn't work. It's like, whatever. And usually the cart is blocked from robots.txt or no index anyway.
Right, or maybe allow the cart, but disallow people from choosing an address outside that country or payment.
Yeah.
But if our main site is, for example, on the United States, it exists and it's expanding into the UK, and using the homepage as a general page to use those redirects would kind of modify the whole US structure that has been in place until now and is ranking fairly well. So if we want to avoid that and just have like just add a subdomain for a specific country, just avoid the redirects, right? Generally speaking.
Yeah.
Okay. Sounds good.
Cool. Ritu.
Hello, sir. Good morning.
Hi.
How's you?
Pretty good. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. Actually, sir, I have a few questions related to my e-commerce store. Actually, I'm working for a medical equipment store. Like, I have a medical website equipment store, and I have done so many techniques for it, like to get the traffic and to enhance number of new users for the website. Like, I did company listing, forum posting, review listing, and so many techniques I did. May I know, apart from these techniques, like which we can proceed for it to get good traffic and to enhance visibility? Like, I'm not getting for medical equipment.
Yeah, I think that's always hard. I don't think there's like one magic trick that gets you traffic from search automatically. I think following the best practices in general for making a good website is always a good idea. Making sure that you can get the word out is important, but especially for medical topics, anything that's a little bit more critical, I would also keep in mind everything around the so-called EAT, so the expertise, authority, authoritativeness, trustworthiness, and to kind of make sure that the site that you're providing represents like a really high standard, and that the content is of really high quality, that it's put together by really people who understand what they're doing, that it's not something kind of like run out of a garage kind of a site. And that's something that I think, especially for the medical area, is super critical. We have a blog post that goes into some of that specific for the core algorithm updates that we did, I think, last year at some point, where it goes through a bunch of questions that you can ask yourself. And it also links to the Raters guidelines that talk a little bit about these kind of sites. So we call them YMYL, Your Money, Your Life sites. And I would see kind of a medical e-commerce site kind of falling into that category as well. And there are various things that you can think about there. And I don't think there's like one simple trick to make it look official. You really have to make sure that you do have kind of that official touch.
As per my experience, I did research on it. I got very less techniques for it. For medical sites, for others related categories, we can go for lots of techniques. But for this medical equipment store, we have very little, like not much techniques for it to get the traffic and to enhance the number of users for the website. Content posting, I'm doing like high quality content. I'm doing in different sites. I'm posting like content syndication. Also, I'm following for it and forum posting. These all techniques I'm following, but I'm not getting good results.
Yeah,
as I'm expecting.
I don't think there is like one simple approach to that. And I think especially when it comes to medical content, I think that's super important that our algorithms are very picky there with regards to what we show. So I would look at the quality rater guidelines and really think about how your site might be perceived by the quality raters. The quality raters don't make the algorithms, but they do give us a lot of insight into what we might do in our algorithms. So I would strongly recommend going through that. And I think it's, especially when it comes to these kind of sites, it's less about the tactics and really more about making sure that it really is a legitimate business and that it's backed up by appropriate trustworthy sources. So not just like high quality content and doing all of this syndication, all of these things, but really making sure that it's written by doctors, it's created by medical professionals who are legitimate in their field.
So I have one more question. It is also related to e-commerce store. I'm facing some issues like product issues and schema issues, breadcrumb issues, and like core web vital issues. Like for e-commerce store, apart from these techniques, which factors matters for the e-commerce store, which we have to focus to enhance the visibility of the store?
In general, e-commerce sites are normal websites for us. So that's kind of the starting point. So anything that you would do on a normal website would apply. For e-commerce, I would also look into everything around Google Shopping, where you can go to the merchant center and submit a feed. I think submitting a feed is for free now pretty much everywhere. So that's something that you can also set up. A lot of e-commerce systems have connections for that automatically. So that might be an option to kind of be a little bit more visible. But otherwise, there is no like special trick specifically for e-commerce that you could do.
OK, so fine. Can I know about brand monitoring mentions?
How do you mean?
In SEMrush, I have seen the option of brand monitoring mentions. So here I have seen some domains. I got some mentions from some domain, some trustworthy domains, which are having good authority and good traffic. And I'm seeing the number of mentions are decreasing day by day. What is the reason behind it in SEMrush tool, SEMrush?
I don't know. I don't know how what they're looking at there. So that's hard to say. I think it's also worthwhile to keep in mind that a lot of these SEO tools use kind of analysis that don't match what Google uses. So just because it's flagged in the tool as something that you should be looking at doesn't necessarily mean that it's something that is critical for your site.
Okay, so. One more thing, I'm facing in Google Search Console. Google Search Console, I'm facing HRE Flink tag errors issues. So which factors we need to consider to resolve HRE Flink tag errors issues?
It depends on the type of issue that you see there. Usually, the hreflang annotations are things that So the idea is that it connects the different language and country versions of your pages together. And in many cases, I think if you're not aware of the specifics there, it sounds like your content management system is doing that automatically. So if you're seeing issues in Search Console about that and you never set anything up yourself around hreflang, then I would check in with the people who are making the content management system or whatever plugins that you're using there, just to kind of see what they might say. But it might also be that this is something that has just been on your site for a long time. And essentially, the errors there just mean we don't use that markup at the moment. It doesn't mean that your website will be less visible because of those errors.
OK, so. Thank you so much for your time.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay. May I just jump in here because she raised a really interesting question?
Okay, sure.
I've got kind of the same issue as Ritu does, and it's about writing in the medical area without being a doctor. You mentioned an interesting link to a blog post, which could be very helpful. Could you just post them in the comments or somewhere?
Sure.
I have already shared in the chat.
Oh, OK.
Hello.
Oh, thank you very much.
Cool. The one about the core updates, essentially. I mean, it's the core updates are not specific to medical sites. But a lot of the questions and input around them generally applies to that as well.
Yeah. The Your Money, Your Life site's been hit very hard. I saw that. So my site, well, went down to a nil line, which might be fair enough, but still I want to kind of improve the performance, obviously. And so any tip is welcome, really.
Yeah. My recommendation there would really be to go and look at the Quality Rater guidelines and really go through that and think about it more with the perspective of if a quality rater were looking at your site or at the general area where your site is active in, like some of your competitors as well, how they might respond to kind of review requests there. And the quality raters are not one-to-one mapping to our algorithms, but rather they give us some input. But oftentimes going with that mindset and trying to be objective when looking at your website, that gives you some ideas of what you might be able to do differently. And sometimes those are small things, like just highlighting better who is creating the content, where it's coming from, who has reviewed the content. Sometimes it's bigger things where you kind of realize, well, actually, if I'm writing about medical topics, maybe I should make sure that I have a doctor or some medical professional actually review the content. Kind of changing the perspective there a little bit. All of these things are, I think, trickier because it's not a pure kind of like yes or no kind of situation. You kind of have to look at your site and think about what variations might there be that I could do, or where might I be kind of running into issues unexpectedly. There are also a handful of really smart SEOs that have focused on the whole EAT topic. And they write about this regularly. They present at conferences about this. I would definitely also look into that, kind of some of the case studies that they have shown I thought were really insightful.
Super. Thank you very much.
Sure. All right, let me run through some of the submitted questions so that we don't lose track of them completely. I'll have more time for live questions afterwards as well, and probably have a bit of time to stick around longer if needed. The first one, and I think the second one, are both like hreflang questions as well. So the first one is from a hosting company. Basically, the Indian homepage no longer ranks in the Indian search results, but rather the generic homepage does rank, and the Indian one is as a site link. And they're trying to figure out what might be the problem here. I took a quick look at this before the Hangout, and I actually didn't see what exactly is happening here either. So that they didn't figure it out kind of means they, like, I don't know. It's a tricky problem. So one of the things that I tend to do with regards to hreflang is first figure out if there's some kind of canonicalization issue happening, in that maybe the Indian version has the same text as the generic version. That could be something that could happen. In this case, both of these homepages are indexed normally. So that's something where, like, easy to check with the Inspect URL tool. You can double check, are these pages indexed individually, or is there some kind of different canonical associated with them? Sometimes you also see that they're both indexed, but one of them has a different URL as a canonical. So maybe like a trailing slash or some extra parameter in the URL somewhere. In this case, both of these are fine. The other thing is looking at the search results. Usually what happens when we have hreflang annotations that we have processed, then we just show one of these URLs in the search results. So we would either show the generic English one or the Indian English one. And in this case, we're showing both of them. So to me, that would point at us not being able to process the hreflang annotations for whatever reason. I noticed the hreflang annotations here are in a sitemap file, and it looks like we can process the sitemap file. So theoretically, we should be able to figure this out. But for whatever reason, we're not picking that up properly. So I passed this on to the team here to double check. I haven't heard back from them yet. I'll see if they have something to bring back. Usually, the other thing that I recommend for this kind of situation is that you always have a backup plan, because you never know how people might be reaching your site. And in this case, there is also a backup plan in place. So it's kind of a GeoIP redirect scheme, similar to what Mihai mentioned, in that if you go to the generic homepage, it redirects you to a country version. For me, it redirects me to a Swiss version, which, so I assume that a user in India, if they clicked on the generic homepage, they would be redirected to the Indian version as well. So from a practical point of view, we're not using the hreflang annotations properly here for whatever reason, but users are still reaching the right version of your site. So essentially, the effect is almost negligible on your side. So from that point of view, I think it's something worth looking at from our side to try to figure out what we're picking up wrong, or maybe if there's something malformed in a sitemap file or something like that. But it's not critical on your side, because users are still going to the right versions, your pages are still ranking properly for those queries. All of that is essentially still working. So I'll see if I can come up with something there. But essentially, this wouldn't be something I would consider as being critical or problematic.
Really quick regarding that.
Yes.
In my example earlier, where the main domain is, let's say, for the US, and you want to expand to the UK, but your main domain is already geo-targeted towards the US, that means that subfolders are kind of out of the question, right? Because you cannot geo-target the main domain on the US and then you just a subfolder for the UK. You kind of have to use
a different domain. No, you could do that.
You could do that?
Yeah.
OK. So you could have the subdomain, the main domain on the US and a subfolder on for the UK or something like that.
Yeah.
I did not know that. Okay.
Just a comment here in terms of like critical that users can get to the right site, but certainly a worry to the SEO team that they're not getting credit for the sale because it's no longer showing up as like an organic visit, and all of a sudden they're seeing traffic going down and sales contributed to organic going down. But
okay.
From a user user experience, it's seamless for the user. So I just thought I'd comment on that side.
Okay, so the redirect doesn't count as a visit from search in that case, or
that's what my guess would be, that the geo redirect would pick it up, and then it would be kind of like self-referral, so like a direct visit at that point.
Okay. Yeah. That's kind of awkward. Okay, I'll double check to see what we can do on our side there. But in general, with all of these hreflang annotations, it's always something where you kind of have to take into account that sometimes we get them wrong. So if there's a way to make sure that kind of the organic search refer stays in place over a redirect, then that would be something I'd try to get set up there.
Hi, John. Just adding to this GoDaddy problem, just wanted to ask, is it I have checked the robots.txt file, and it seems like they are mentioning multiple instruction single line. I think it's very unusual format for me to see robots.txt in that way. Like, usually we have one instruction per line, but they are using like multiple. Like, can that be an issue?
Like, I don't
can
think
it create
so.
Some kind of crawling issue?
I mean, it might have an effect on crawling of the rest of the website, but it wouldn't have an effect on the homepage here. At least when I looked at the homepages, we were able to crawl them individually and index them individually, and they're also canonical on their own. So that's something. If the robots text file is not perfect and we can't crawl everything properly, that would be affecting more the rest of the site and not the homepage. So that wouldn't be affecting that, like, one URL is less visible in search. It would either be not visible at all because it's blocked by robots text, or it would be visible in search because it's not blocked by robots text.
Good. Okay.
Sure. I think the next question I have on my list is the other version of the hreflang issues, where I would say, well, this is kind of the way that it's supposed to be working. So here, what's happening is we have a /de version of a page, and it's no longer being indexed. So if you look at it with the inspect URL tool, it probably says something like it's not indexed at the moment. And what is indexed instead is the AT version, so the Austrian version. And both of these pages are exactly the same. And from our point of view, when these pages are exactly the same, we will index just one of them because it's exactly the same thing. And we're kind of saving space, we're saving bandwidth from crawling, and just picking one of those as the canonical. So that's what's happening here in this case. However, we are picking up information that these are for different country versions. So if you search with the kind of the German parameters in search, then you do see the German version, and you also see the Austrian version separately. So while we're just indexing one of these versions, we're actually showing the individual country versions. And usually that's, from our point of view, that's fine, because the hreflang annotations are working there, and we can show the different versions. The way I check the individual country versions is with the GL equals parameter in the URL. So usually what I do is I search for something like a prominent piece of text on the page, and then simplify the URL that are shown on top for the query, so that it just has a query, and then add ampersand HL equals for the language and GL equals for the country version. And by doing that, looking at the DE and the AT versions of the search results page, you see we're showing the right URL there, even if we're just indexing one of those pages. So it's confusing when you look at it in Search Console individually, because it looks like, oh, it's not being indexed. And also in the performance reports and all the other reports in Search Console, it's confusing because we show the canonical only there. But in the search results, we show both of these versions. So it's still essentially working properly. It's just confusing with all of the reporting.
Hello, John. What I wanted to add here is that we consider this to be hreflang folding at first. But the odd thing is that when we checked in Search Console, we had no index HTTP header. So we looked at the page. There's nothing there, nothing in the as an HTML tag, nothing in the header. Then we've checked every other signals. And then we saw that, for example, we have a referring page that does have this, and it's a 302, which makes me believe it kind of became permanent redirect. And now I'm thinking, are we in a case where we have inherited that no index X robots tag from the site that is redirecting to us? Because that's quite an odd one.
Yeah, I think that's just confusing reporting. It's like, mm-hmm. when I look at it in the systems here, I essentially see we understand that these pages are the same and that we're just picking one of them for indexing. So I mean, the pages on your site, the DE and AT versions. I don't see anything from an external no index kind of playing a role there. If you're seeing that in Search Console, that feels like it's just something in Search Console that's confusing.
Yeah, that was an odd one and completely different from what we've seen before, because this folding has happened in the past, but after resubmitting it, a few days later, the pages were re-indexed. We know the content is similar, so we know what's the best practice here, but usually this would be fixed in a few days. Now it's been more than a week and it hasn't.
Yeah, I think since the content is pretty much the same here, I would be surprised if submitting it to indexing would change anything there. So it's possible that you would be able to achieve kind of like a temporary, like it's indexed individually thing. But from my point of view, our system should be able to pick that up again fairly quickly after it gets indexed and say, oh, it's actually the same thing. We should fold it together again.
And another thing here is, why German is being folded into Austria when Germany is our main market, so more signals are going to those pages in general. So why selecting Austria?
I don't know. So for canonicalization, we use a lot of different factors, which do include things like external links, but also internal links, sitemap files, lots of other things come into play there. And my assumption is that these are fairly equivalent. And then it's kind of hit and miss, like if it falls this way or that way. So that's kind of, from my point of view, the situation there. And I think like you could go into there and say, I will change the text significantly so that they don't get seen as duplicates. But I don't think you would see any positive effect from that with regards to search. So it would make it easier for tracking, because then we would be able to keep them separate. But I don't think you would see that they rank better individually in search.
Yeah, usually if when we have the swap, the Austrian page ranks less, a bit worse than the German page. So always when this swap comes in, we see a decline in rankings.
Yeah.
Because of the signals of the Austrian page, which are clearly not the same in Germany. This is why I'm thinking the pages to be considered equal. The signals are not there, at least not the ones we're looking at.
Yeah. You're probably looking at the signal slightly differently than we are.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's some like this kind of thing I could send to the team that works on the duplicate content detection on our side and canonicalization to see like why we're doing it exactly like this. But I don't see them saying, oh, it's like something we should change it, because they would look at this and say, well, these are equivalent enough. It's like, obviously, you see some slight differences there. But for kind of the bigger web context, we would say, well, it's the same content. Like, we pick this one, we pick that one. It doesn't really matter. So that's some, I mean, from my point of view, if you wanted to have them index individually, making sure the text is unique is definitely an option. I don't think you would have any big effect from that, though, otherwise. So that's kind of the trade-off that you would have there. Like, invest a lot of time to make the text unique, or just keep them like that and focus on some bigger problem instead. It's hard to say.
Cool. Thank you very much.
Sure. And another hreflang question. Wow, it's like day of the hreflangs. Recently, you mentioned hreflang is not needed for translated pages because they're not duplicate. Would you still recommend using hreflang for translated pages anyway for geotargeting? So geotargeting is different than hreflang. With hreflang, we essentially don't change anything with the rankings. We just swap out the URLs. With geotargeting, we do use the location as kind of a ranking factor, especially if we're thinking that the user is looking for something local. So geotargeting is not the same as hreflang. So in other words, if you have content for multiple countries, then I would try to make sure that you can use geotargeting. If you just have content in different languages, then hreflang is obviously fine. With regards to translated content that's like completely different content, it's, I don't know, when I talk about this internally with the teams, it's like there are different opinions in this in regards to like when it's necessary or when it's not necessary. I think in particular, when you see that people are reaching your pages with the wrong language or kind of reaching the wrong language version of your pages, then to me, that's a sign that hreflang would be useful. And this is particularly the case if we see, or if you see, that people are searching in a way that is hard to recognize a language that they're actually looking for. So that could be something like they're searching for your brand name, and you have the same brand name in lots of different countries, lots of different languages. Then just by the brand name itself, we don't really know which language version to show to users. And in cases like that, hreflang is absolutely something that is super useful, because then we can swap out kind of the right homepage for your site based on the user's language settings and their location. When it comes to more long tail queries where people are searching for, I don't know, I would like a blue running shoe of this brand, then that query itself is already in a specific language. And based on the query alone, we can recognize, well, this is that language, and those words are on this page. And we can map this page to that query fairly well, then the language usually is going to be the same thing across those two pages. So for that, from my point of view, hreflang is less critical. It all, I think, depends a little bit on how people are searching for your site, but also what options you have available for your site. If it's a case of like either you turn on hreflang for everything or you don't turn it on, then obviously turning it on for an international site definitely makes sense. If you have to implement hreflang individually, manually, then I would be a little bit more picky with regards to which pages you actually set it up on, because it's a lot of work to implement this properly and to kind of keep all of that maintained. So those are kind of my thoughts there. I think I kind of answered that question. Do you recommend a short URL structure without directory depth? In my understanding, it's not bad to show users where they are. Yes, absolutely. So if essentially the URL structure that you have on your site is something that you can use however you want. Google does not count the number of slashes in your URLs and say, oh, this is like five levels down, therefore we will not show it as visibly in search. You don't have to kind of have an artificially flat directory structure. So from that point of view, if you have a directory structure that users can recognize and where you can tell that sometimes people are like even typing in the URL or copy and pasting parts of a URL together, I think that's perfectly fine. There's no need to hide that kind of URL structure from users by doing URL rewriting, anything like that. For the most part, we treat URLs as identifiers of content. We don't try to understand the site structure based on the URL. So essentially, setting up your URL however you want is our recommendation there. It's definitely not the case that you need to artificially make it look different. Can we spend a few minutes talking about sitemaps and sitemap index files? Specifically, is there a rule of thumb around when an index is appropriate, and does sitemap naming kind of matter like URL structures? So we just said URL structure essentially doesn't matter. You can use whatever you want. You can also use whatever you want for sitemap file names. Also for the contents within a sitemap file, totally up to you. Some people have a lot of URLs in a sitemap file. I think you can have up to 50,000. Some people have a lot fewer URLs per sitemap file. The trade-off there is essentially having a lot of sitemap files versus having fewer sitemap files. Having more sitemap files makes it easier for you to drill down on specific sitemaps in Search Console. So that can be useful. It doesn't change anything at all for search. So essentially what happens in our systems is we process these sitemap files when we get a ping, and we throw them all into the same database, and then we crawl the URLs that we find there all together. So it's not the case that any kind of sitemap file structure that you have changes anything with regards to how we crawl the URLs on your site. I think if you have one sitemap file per URL, then you're probably overdoing it, because it's like we have to crawl almost twice as much to get all of the URLs. But anything between like several URLs per sitemap file and like all URLs on one sitemap file, that's kind of up to you. Just wondering if you have any insights on what impact switching from www to non-www has on indexation. So essentially, this is kind of like a site move, but you're staying within the same site. And for that, you'd essentially just set up the redirects and make sure that all of the signals, all of the information that you give us aligns with your new preference there. So making that kind of a change is something that'll take a while, but probably it'll be pretty straightforward and pretty smooth because everything stays within the same site and you're just kind of shifting URLs around. I would expect that there is some fluctuation as we process these, but I wouldn't see that the same as when you're moving from one domain to another. So probably it's like it just takes a while to be reprocessed, and then it'll be fine. Question is about offering relevant content. As you say, Google gives priority to relevant and unique content, but in the tourism sector, when we change content so it affects the Google ranking as well, is it possible to maintain the same position by changing the content as well? So I'm not quite sure what you're referring to here, so that's kind of tricky, but in general, if you change the content, then I would expect to see changes in search, because we should be reflecting what the content is on your site. So from that point of view, it's like I don't know, if you're changing things on your site, then usually you should see changes in how we show that content in search. And if you're working to kind of improve things on your site, that means you would see improvements in search. Of course, if you just swap out all of your content against something that's less useful, less relevant for users, then maybe you don't see improvements with that. But there's no kind of, I don't know, magical trick to going in and saying, like, I want to change all my content. I don't want to see any changes in search, because that wouldn't match what we would see on your site then. Ooh, OK. Wow. I think we still have more questions. And I see a bunch of raised hands as well. But I need to pause the recording here. I can stick around a little bit longer if any of you want to hang around as well. We can continue to chat about these things and go through like some of the remaining questions. But thanks for submitting so many questions, for coming over, hanging around so long, asking so many live questions as well. And hope to see some of you again in one of the future ones. All right. Thanks a lot. And let's see.